Well, I pray that you've had an incredible Christmas and you're excited about New Year's. And it's really great to be able to share with you a message today. And a few weeks ago, Pastor Sean introduced the theme for 2025 for our church, which is Going Deeper. And it's based around this verse in Colossians 2, verse 7. And it says this: "Let your roots grow down into him," talking about Jesus, "and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." And I love this theme of going deeper. And what I want to share about in this time that we have together is going deeper in God's word, or really allowing God's word to go deeper within us. You know, it's around that time as we get to the end of the year and we reflect on how we did this year and whether we achieved the goals or the different things that we set out to achieve at the start. And we start to think about what are our goals? What do we want to achieve? What are the things that we want to do different? Or what do we want to increase in the next year, in 2025? And can I encourage you to really think through a Bible plan that's going to work for you, that's going to be consistent throughout your life, because God's word is so powerful. And being consistent within that does some incredible things within our lives that we're going to talk a little bit about as we continue today. You know, I was raised by a mom who was full of faith. She was a woman of the word. And growing up, she taught me so much about the Bible and encouraged me to remember scriptures. And she incentivized this, which now as a parent is a good thing to do. And she gave me 20 cents for every memory verse that I could remember at the end of each week. Now, today, 20 cents doesn't get very much, but back then, this would have been 30 plus years ago, 20 cents could get you a lot of lollies. So I was very incentivized. But what I found as I grew up in my life is that those scriptures that I memorized became foundational things within my life that helped me to overcome many different things and encouraged me within my life. And I'm so grateful for her instilling that foundation into me, which really set me up on a path to be able to overcome and to be able to apply God's word to my life. And when we pray those big prayers, "God, would you use me? God, would you send me?" we can see in scripture how he does that and be encouraged to step out in faith. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about today. You know, as we come to this new year, I want us to think about this new year as an empty field. That our heart is like an empty field, a field that's been plowed and it's ready to have seeds planted within us. It's a new opportunity of what we could plant in our lives. And coming off this idea of, you know, what we sow is what we reap, and asking this question, you know, what you plant today, you reap tomorrow. So as we think about this message, keep that picture in your mind and your heart of this empty field that's full of potential. You know, and I've got a phrase for us to consider as we go through this message. And this phrase is this. It says, "What could God's word fully grown in your life look like?" I'll say it again just so we can make sure we get it. What does God's word fully grown in your life look like? We're going to turn to the Bible now. We're going to go to James chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. And you can look for that now. And as you do, I'm just going to pray. Father God, I just thank you for this time together. I thank you for your word, God, and what it does within our lives, God, when we don't just hear it, God, but we obey it. And I pray that in this time together, Holy Spirit, we would have open hearts to receive what you're saying to us. And God, we would open our hearts to go deeper into your word and to allow your word to go deeper into us. We give you all the glory, praise, and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's read this scripture together. James 1, 21 and 22. Starts out very strong with a very good encouragement as we look to start the next year. It says, "Get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives." Great start here. And as we finish the year and we make plans for next year, let's look at our lives. Let's get rid of all the filth. Let's get rid of the evil. Let's get rid of the stuff that we don't need. And here's why: because we want to humbly accept the word that God has planted in your hearts. Here's why: for it has the power to save your souls. This is an incredible verse right here. Humbly accept the word God has planted in your heart, for it has the power to save your souls. So encouraging. it goes on with an encouragement or a warning. It says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. And really, I've got 2 points in this message. They're very simple. The first one is to hear God's word. And the second one is to do what it says. All right, got it? Okay, well, thanks for being... No, I'm just joking. We're going to go into it. But it is that simple in one sense. But sometimes the simple things are the hardest to really put into place and really live out. So why do we need to hear God's word? Well, we need to hear God's word because it reveals to us who God is. It reveals to us his heart towards us, his heart for the world. It reveals to us the things that he cares about, that we should care about. But it also shows us who we are. It reveals to us who we are. It shows us who God created us to be and the kind of people that we're supposed to be and how we're meant to interact with each other. It also reveals God's purpose for our lives. It shapes us into what God wants us to become. It prunes those things off us that we don't need as we hear it. It teaches us about the promises of God. And the many benefits, the fruit of the Spirit, and so many things. And it teaches us how to trust in him and also to see his promises and his kingdom outworked in our lives. We need to hear God's word. You know, if we're not hearing God's word, we're not reading God's word, then what are we listening to? What are we listening to? Is it just sort of popular thought? Is it news and maybe the biases of the different sides, even politics and so many different things? Is it our culture, the culture that we're from, the culture that we're a part of? Is it movies that's speaking to us and telling us what we should value? Is it music? Is it social media and the different trends and all the things that are happening in that crazy world online, the internet and blogs and forums and all these different things? Maybe it's just other people's opinions. But if we're not hearing God's word and we're listening to all this other noise, not that it's necessarily bad, we've got to ask ourselves, what is that telling us about who we are? What are those things telling us about the things that we should value and prioritize? What is all of that noise telling us about who we're called to be and what we're supposed to do with our lives in light of the incredible gift of grace and salvation through Jesus Christ, his sacrifice and his resurrection? What are those voices and those things shaping us into? What is it telling us about who we are? We need to hear God's word. It has the power to save our souls. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 says this: all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. We need to hear God's word. You know, in just hearing it, if we don't put the next step into place, it's almost a waste of time. I want to share with you this story. When I was a teenager, I was born quite late in my dad's life. My dad was much older. He was 50 when I was born. So by the time I was 15, 16, 17, he had retired and he was an incredible cook. And one of my favorite snacks coming home from school was scrambled eggs. And I used to come home and I'd go through the cupboard, look for everything, whatever. And then I'd see my dad and I'd say these words, which started out true, but then became very false. I said, "Dad, would you teach me how to make scrambled eggs?" And first few times he did it. By the 50th time, he knows that I don't actually want him to teach me. I just want to eat the scrambled eggs. And I thought this was fine. This was a great setup. It became a bit of a joke between us. And for a good couple of years, I enjoyed incredible scrambled eggs, never had to do it myself. Now, that was fine until I was now married, had our first of our three children. He was 2 years old. My wife had gone on a work trip and I'm sitting at home with a screaming baby that wants a scrambled egg. And I have no idea how to cook it. Now, you know, you might think that's crazy. How do you not know how to cook a scrambled egg? But if you've never cooked anything, it's intimidating. But I realized I'd spent so many times sitting there watching my dad do it, but never applied any of it, never did anything with it. And now in this moment where I needed those skills, I didn't have them. How often can we be like that in our spiritual life? How often can we come to church and hear a great message? We can go to a conference and be encouraged. We can go to an event or a different thing and we hear all this stuff, but we don't do anything with it. And then we find ourselves in a situation at work, in our lives, with our family, in whatever area it is, and we're reaching for, what was that thing that they said? Well, I can't remember what it is. We can sit in the service and hear it, but we're not doing anything with it. We heard God's word, but we didn't do anything with it. We need to hear God's word, but we also need to do what it says. And here's one of the key points of this message, that it's in the application of God's word, not just the hearing, but the application of God's word, that his promises are activated in our lives. I'll say it one more time. It's in the application of God's word, not just hearing it, but reading it, applying it, believing it, that his promises are then activated in our lives. We apply God's word to our lives by believing what it says, by believing God is who he says he is and can do what he says that he can do. We apply God's word and we do what it says by acting upon it, by not just hearing it, but doing it and taking a step of faith in obedience to what it is that what it's telling us to do. We apply God's word by speaking it over our lives, speaking it over our situations. And this isn't sort of some blab it and grab it, name it and claim it. I want a new Ferrari. No, when we're going through heartaches and trials, there's verses in the Bible that encourage us so much. And we hear it and we do what it says by praying it over our lives and over our circumstances and allowing it to prune us, to shape us, to align our hearts back to God's word. It takes the hearing of God's word and it makes it a reality in our lives. And like that verse says, if we don't do what God's word says, then we're fooling ourselves. And this year we want to go deeper into God's word and we want God's word to go deeper into our hearts. So what could God's word fully grown in your life look like? As we dive a little bit deeper into this, how do we do what God's word says? Obviously I've talked about the different ways of applying it there, but coming back to this picture of an empty field, in James 1:21, which we read before, it says, humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. It's referring to God's word as a seed, that in humility we allow God to plant it into our hearts through his word, through his spirit. And this has the power to save our souls. And the Bible refers to God's word as seed multiple times throughout the Bible, and probably most notably Jesus in his parables, in the parable of the sower, where the sower goes out to sow seed and it falls on different ground, and based on the ground is a different sort of depth, I suppose, of God's word being planted and your life being different because of that seed that was sown. But the reason why this is such a powerful analogy is because it emphasizes the life-giving and transformative and reproductive power of God's word, what it can do within our hearts. It also underscores or highlights the importance of the condition of our heart and how we are we ready to receive God's word. With humility, it says, humbly accept the word God has planted in your heart. We can't have pride in our lives thinking that we can do everything and we can overcome it. We can do it all in our own strength. It takes humility to allow your heart, so to speak, to be plowed, to have all of that stuff pulled out so God can then plant his seed, his word, his promises into our hearts. And this verse is encouraging us to let God's word or the seed be planted deep into our hearts. Now, the thing about seeds, if we look at this for a minute, is if I've got an apple seed and I plant it in the ground, I'm not going to get a lemon tree. I'm going to get an apple tree. If I've got a lemon seed and I plant it into the ground, I'm not going to get an apple tree or whatever it is. Each seed contains everything that is needed to produce the tree and the fruit inside the seed. But unless it's planted in the ground, watered and nurtured, it remains just a seed, just potential. But it's not necessarily realized. So in the same way, if we're thinking about God's word as a seed, the full potential of God's promises are found in his word, but they remain dormant in our lives. The effects of them remain dormant in our lives until they are planted in our hearts and applied to our lives. It's in the application of God's word that his promises are activated in our lives. And our hearts were created by God to bring forth fruit. And so that only comes when God's word is planted within our hearts. And just as the seed needs to remain in the ground over time to germinate and then to grow, so the word of God has to remain in our hearts. As we think about our hearts as an empty field, that God as the sower is coming out and sowing his word into our hearts, it needs to remain in the ground long enough so that it can germinate, the roots can go down, and it can grow. But you know, there's things that can cause that seed to not take root or to be uprooted from our lives. You know, doubt can be something that comes in depending on the circumstances that we're in. Maybe it's fear. We're afraid of different things, or afraid of outcomes or circumstances, or whatever it is. Could be negativity. We're just always, for some reason, we're negative all the time about all these different things. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's temptation. Maybe it's just that struggle of, that pulls the seeds out of our hearts that God is planting to help us to be able to overcome those different things. Maybe it's impatience. Maybe it's circumstances. You know, it could be so many things. In the parable of the sower, we see the different soil types. We have the path, which represents a hardened heart, and the word is quickly snatched away by the enemy. It doesn't have time to even go into the ground. We have the rocky soil, which symbolizes a sort of a shallow and uncommitted faith, and our faith withers under the trials of life that we go through. It doesn't last. The seeds are kind of ripped out of the plants, are ripped out, or they die. We have the thorny soil, which is over symbolizes an overcrowded life, distracted by worldly cares. And the outcome of that is that our faith is unfruitful. It doesn't grow to a point of fruitfulness and ultimately is not effective within our lives. And then we have the good soil, which is a receptive and obedient heart. And that seed, that produces abundant fruit. And that's the point that Jesus is trying to make. The soil is the condition of our hearts. And so if we're going to accept God's word, if we're going to see God's promises activated in our lives, we've got to have humility to be able to open up our hearts and say, God, help me to get this stuff out of my life. Help me to get these things out. Help me to get rid of the hard soil. My heart, soften my heart, God. Help me to dig up the rocks and help me to pull away the thorns and the things that distract me or take my focus off you. Help me to have good soil where your seed can go deep into my heart and germinate and grow and create a forest of faith within my life. The thing is that we can overcome all of these things through letting God's word remain in our hearts until it takes root and then and grows. And God's word, once planted in your heart and nurtured, will produce and grow into exactly what it says it will. I want to give you, just to sort of take this one step further in terms of this analogy, this sort of understanding is, in the germination process of a seed, if you put one in the ground, I've got a picture on the screen just here of a seed that's just germinated and the seedling is kind of sprouting through. This is a time where it's most susceptible to damage or to be removed. And this is when it's just first sort of taking root. And often in our lives, we'll have encounters with God, we'll have moments, moments where the Bible comes alive and encourages us and inspires us and we hear it and we apply it, but then things happen and it pulls that seed out of our lives. We've got to make sure that we guard that seed once it's in there. We've got to nurture it. We've got to cultivate it. We've got to water it. We've got to keep speaking it over our lives. Keep believing it. Keep acting on that. Because conversely, if you see this picture here with a tree with roots going right down into the ground, if you've ever had a tree in your backyard that you've got to get rid of, it is a long, expensive, hard process that takes heavy machinery and probably a couple of days to get it out. And so what I'm trying to show you here is this picture is that if we could allow God's word to be planted, if we could nurture it and cultivate it and water it and let it grow, continue to apply it and speak it, then the roots go down so deep. And when you go through the different trials of life, you have this tree of faith that's resilient within you that helps you to overcome the tough times that you go through. And we're all going to go through tough times. God didn't promise us a storm-free life. But he promised us through him and through his spirit and through his word, a storm-proof life. And this is one of the ways that we can storm-proof our life is by learning God's scripture, learning the word, letting it go deep into our hearts, believing what it says, speaking it over us, allowing it to shape us and realign our hearts. And the key within all of this is to remain. Can we allow God's seed, his word, to remain in our hearts long enough for it to take root? And this comes from this idea, which is another garden picture where it talks about Jesus being the vine and where the branches. And he says this in John 15:7. He says, "But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted." Now, this verse has been misused, does get taken out of context. So I'm not saying that if you put God's word in your heart and you say it every day and you have a manifest board and you got a Lamborghini on there and you're like, "God, I've done all this. I want a Lamborghini." No, the whole point of this is that if you remain in God, if you remain in Jesus, in his presence, in his word, and his words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want. It changes our heart. It changes the desires of our heart. It changes the priorities of our heart. It changes the things that we want to focus on and give priority to so that we are more aligned with his word. So when we pray for things, we're praying things that are aligned to his word, and we know that that is something that he is going to answer because it's a promise from his word. And this is another thing that this does is it changes our heart from being selfish about ourselves and stuck within the circumstances that we find ourselves in, and helps us to see beyond those circumstances, beyond ourselves, and see us how God sees us, which can be completely different to how we see ourselves. And that then shows us how we can overcome different things and start to see the priorities of the kingdom, the priorities of heaven, the priorities of God, and be useful in service to him. And that helps us often to overcome the circumstances that we're in. It's taking our focus off ourselves and putting our focus onto God and then onto others and how we can help and help others. But in all of this, I want us to even start thinking now is like, what are some areas in your life where you need God's promises to come through? What are some examples? What is the situation that you're going through? And there's a promise in God's word that you can take and allow God to plant it into your heart and nurture it and cultivate it and let it grow roots deep and see the promises of God activated within your life. Maybe it's in the area of healing. I mean, maybe it's in the area of provision. Beck prayed for a number of things just before worship. Just after worship, and she prayed for visas. She prayed for many different things. There's answers to all of these prayers that we have, not exactly specifically to the exact thing, but something that caters to it within God's word. And if we'll believe what it says, if we'll speak it over ourselves, if we'll allow God's word to remain within us and us to remain in him, we can overcome these different things. Because when we apply God's word, it activates his promises in our lives. Maybe it's identity struggles. You're struggling with who you are. God's word says who you are, that you're a child of God. You're the head and not the tail. Maybe it's fear. For me, fear was a massive one. I was so scared as a kid and even as a teenager of so many different things. And one of the scriptures that my mum got me to memorize, I think I was 9, was 2 Timothy 1:7 that says, "God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind." And every time I got fearful, lying in my bed, seeing shadows in the corners or I don't know, having to do something I didn't want to do, I would start to pray this over myself. God, no, you haven't given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. God, you can help me to overcome this. You can help me to beat this. And through praying that prayer over a number of years in my life, it helped me to overcome and break that fear in my life, break that stronghold of fear within my life. Maybe it's depression. Maybe there's been bad experiences that have happened. Maybe there's things that have been spoken over your life. God's word has so much in it that can help you to overcome these things that become so hard and can be so heartbreaking and hard for us to overcome. God's word, I'm not just saying this because it's a cool idea or a theory. This is something that has helped me in my own life. Find what God's word says and apply it to your life. You know, just to not to go through this too quickly, but in my own life, I've gone through some pretty tragic events. I've had two brothers that have passed away, one when I was 13 and one when I was 20. I had a best friend who passed away from cancer when I was 24. And when I was 29 and 30, I had cancer and went through a whole journey. And the reason this message is so important to me, and this is sort of a life message for me, is because I allowed God's word to be a seed in my heart and to take root in my life. I experienced God's love reinforced through his scripture, Romans 5:8, that says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, that God demonstrates his love, that while we were still sinners, Christ died. That blows my mind still. But I remember as a 13-year-old reading that going, oh my gosh, this is how much God loves me. And despite the tragedy that I was in, I had this verse to encourage me. Like I said about 2 Timothy 1:7, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but I could go through all these different verses. And because I let them go deep into my heart, because I prayed them, because I believed them, because I spoke them over, because I confessed them every day, when I went through these different trials and heartaches, they were still hard to go through, I'm not going to lie. But the tree was deep, the roots were deep, so the faith couldn't be pulled out of my life. God's promises couldn't be pulled out of my life, and it helped me to be able to overcome, even to the point of having cancer myself in my 30s with two small children, and believing that God would heal me, believing that God would, that there's still purpose and meaning in my life. And I don't know which situation that you find yourself in, but I want to tell you the answer is Jesus, and the answer is in God's word. And it's through his Holy Spirit that he can speak to you and encourage you. But if you would allow God's word to be planted in your heart, you'd let it stay there long enough to germinate, to grow, to put roots down deep. His promises are activated in your life, and breakthrough is coming. Breakthrough can come. Healing can come. This isn't a prosperity message or anything like that. Not that I'm against that. This is the reality of the power and potency of God's word. But we can't be momentary with it. In terms of faith, it's not so much about the size of our faith. Jesus spoke a lot to his disciples and said, "Oh, you of little faith." I don't think he was talking about the size of their faith. I think he was talking about the duration of their faith. We see that most notably through Peter when he stepped out of the boat. And he walks towards Jesus on water, and then as he takes his eyes off Jesus and looks at the winds and the way, he starts to sink. And Jesus comes over and rescues him, and he says, "You know, you have little faith, why did you doubt?" And we can read that and go, man, if he's got little faith, I've got minuscule faith, because I don't even know if I'd get out of the boat. But it's not necessarily the size, it's the duration. That word little can also mean momentary or fleeting faith. We go through spurts where we got faith now, but then it fizzles out. We got faith now, but then it fizzles out. No, if we remain in God and his words remain in us, something happens. There's a potency that comes from that. There's his promises at work within our lives. There's breakthrough that comes out of that helps us to overcome. There's victory that comes from that. And we can turn our trials and our heartache and our tragedies, they become a triumph when we give them to God and we allow his word to grow deep in our hearts, and we cultivate this forest of faith. We move from being a victim to be victorious, and the the things that we see as weaknesses, as we give them to God, as we apply His word, as we hear it and we do it and it grows in our lives, those weaknesses become a strength. The mess of our lives can become a message to help and encourage other people. So as we come to the end of this year and we look to next year, can I encourage you, go deeper in the word of God. But even more than that, allow God's word to go deeper in you. In your heart right now, as we go back to this picture of an empty field and the potential of that empty field that's been, it's been cultivated and it's plowed and it's ready for seed to go in. What seed do you need in your heart? What from God's word do you need in your heart? What promises from God's word do you, maybe you don't even know. It's time to start reading the Bible and finding them. Google is also a good place to start. And finding those different verses. You can type in themes and keywords and different verses can come up and encourage you. But let's go deeper in God's word this year. Let's realize that what we plant today, we reap tomorrow. That's a principle that we cannot avoid. God says that do not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, so he will reap. God will not be mocked. That it's a principle that's in place, that whatever we plant now, we are going to reap later. So let's plant God's word in our heart. Let's get rid of the pride and the things that make us feel like we can do it all ourselves. Let's have humility and allow God's word to be planted in our hearts. And let's go deeper into His word this year. Let's learn His word this year. Let's read His word. Let's hear it, but let's do what it says and apply it in our lives. What could God's word, fully grown, look like in your life? Could it look like victory? Could it look like breakthrough? Could it look like freedom? Could it look like hope? Could it look like purpose? Could it look like meaning? Could it look like even ministry or being activated into the service of God, being a true disciple, a true believer, outworking His kingdom within your life and through your life? What could it look like? Let's allow God's word to be planted within our hearts. You know, maybe you're here watching this now and maybe you're watching this for the first time and you don't even necessarily totally understand all of this. I want to speak to you for a moment to tell you that Jesus is God. Jesus is alive. Jesus is real. He really did come down to earth at Christmas last week, and He really did grow up and die on a cross for our sins, for that separated us from God, to bring us back into relationship with Him. And He really did rise again. And through His resurrection, we are then victorious in Him. But the first step that we have to take is accepting Him into our hearts, believing in Him. And I want to tell you, it's the best decision that you'll ever make. In my life, I've gone through many different heartaches, as I said. I've gone through many different things. I've tried and reasoned and thought through different things, doubted. I have to keep coming back to the fact that I know God is real, that I know God loves me, that His promises are alive in my life. And because of this, because I know, I want everyone to experience this, everyone to experience what it means to live a life that's committed to Jesus, that has Him as the Lord, that realizes that we make mistakes, that realizes we can't do it all in our own strength. We can't heal those things sometimes that are broken within our hearts, but Jesus can. And like I said at the start of this, humbly accept the word that God has planted in your heart, for it has the power to save your soul. And if you're watching this right now and you want to take that first step in this journey, you want to open up your heart even right now to receive this first word. I'll give it to you. John 3:16, that God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's a seed in your heart right now.